Soul dressing. The sleeves are short and tight, and you dislike the pig nostrils and the bland cow frown of its brows. Did you make a mistake when you chose this soul from the closet? But the one with gold sewn into the lining must swim for its life, and it might go down, it might, glittering, drown. When God's fire pours forth like gasoline, you'll have to ignore the soul's hurt and tear off the garment, whatever the cost, to the heart you were born with. Like a boy with two sticks that could be real swords or the crutches he needs to make it home through deepening snows, but who breaks them over his knees instead to kindle a fire because he is cold unto death now. This is a poem from a story my father told me. He had seven brothers, and they lived in a very small house. The poem is called Passover. The bed, like a clothespin bag, the children head to tail. The one in the middle sees a curtain spill, a thief's shadow onto the blanket. The biggest kick and turn, they fight from under the thief's duffel. The smallest goes to the window. Nothing in the street but Jesus perched on top of a telephone pole. Back in bed, the one with a cough rumples sheets, tosses aside pillows. Death's in the neighborhood, spiriting bodies at the door in its slippers. The story behind that, of course, is of the epidemics that swept through the neighborhoods, and this was in North End Winnipeg, and took at least a child from every house. I think this is the last of this bit. Natural disasters. And you can tell I'm from the West Coast, as well as other things. It rains all night, until the bed floats and you stand on it, waving at the others in small lifeboats. The tigers and lions, the anteaters snuffling the thwarts, at the piled up and wingless, at the dogs nosing the sails, at the untethered horses stomping the planks, at the saved world fleeing. No fire or brimstone, just the rain in your sleeves, the shameless wet bottom of your pajamas. No toothbrush, no mother, no father. It's a beautiful planet, its green and blue soul, like the secret pinion feathers of a phoenix. You wave at its gold, at its coal seams, at the glisten of salmon, at its creek bed gravel, its digging in shifts, like the flight of the heron on night watch, on dawn watch. And you breathe through the night, waving onwards, the owls at the prows, the elephants and bison, at the reluctance to drown, which has seized all creation and forced you to listen to its cries. I'm going to read a poem from Airely, I think. If I can find it. One of the pleasures of being an adult is you get to look back at stories you've known or myths you've known for a long time. Okay. I was talking to Marilee. We were talking about opera, which I'm a fan of. One of my favorite operas is Ariadne of Naxos, and it tells in a story within a story the tale of the wretched Theseus, The Greeks say he was a hero, but he was a wretched Theseus to me, who abandoned Ariadne after she'd given up everything to show him the secret of the labyrinth and to enable him to defeat the Minotaur. And he abandoned her on Naxos, and I was lucky enough to live on the island next to Naxos for a couple of years in Greece. So, this is a revisioning, and this is in Theseus' voice. We are deep in the labyrinth now, Ariadne. And I'm thinking there are conversations we should have had before I began this journey. Are you still here? If I tug, will you hold to your end of the string? Or have you embarked on some other dalliance? Well, I'm lost in the dark, except for this link to your heart. I didn't ask who made the Minotaur in the dark of your father's kingdom. People blame the gods, but I'm the one who has to scramble over the bones of the young. I knew many of them, friends, cousins, knew them better than I know you. Ariadne, have there been other men? Women don't often tell the truth about their friends. But if the sword breaks at first blow, I'll know what you've done. What have I done? I should have killed your father, would have, if you hadn't begged me to consider your feelings. Theseus, you said, it's not just about us. So thoughtful. Are your hands painted with the blood of my friends? You must like this blood sport. No girl can be as innocent as you purport. I make discoveries in the labyrinth I'd not make in Athenian light. Once I've run the monster to ground, I'll put everything right. Ready or not, Ariadne, fee, fi, fo, fum, here I come. A few years ago, I lived in New York City for a period. I had a Fulbright to New York University. And I had a lovely time. I loved being there. I got to walk everywhere, and I had a great little flat, great in the sense of its location, little in the sense of it really was little and empty and very old and full of things, bugs. But other than that, it was great. But the only problem for me was that I couldn't sleep in this flat. And I didn't know why, and I still don't know why, but I can tell you that I fled one weekend in the spring to visit a cousin who had some property in near Bethesda in Maryland, just so I could walk in the woods. I needed to see trees. And when I came back, across the street, directly across the street from me, where I was living, my building, was a wreath, a big wreath. And the students of New York University had put it there in memory of all the women who lost their lives in the great terrible fire of the shirtwaist factory, the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory, on March 25th, 1911. Now, oddly enough, in a way, I'd always known about this fire, and when I think about it, I think it's because when I was a girl, there was another fire in which something similar happened, and people talked about it. So it was in my mind, and as soon as I saw that, I at least imagined I knew why I couldn't sleep. So here is a poem. So my window looked across to this building. And if you know the story, these girls were locked in to the floors where they worked, and when the building was set on fire, they couldn't get out, so many of them had to jump. There are lots of echoes, of course, of that these days. 14 Washington Place. Which was my address. No one told me the wind that blew the windows open was an apron unpinned. on hooked garters, stockings unfurled, when grief bloomed full as skirts in my New York rooms. I got up, looked out, watched men rummage the skips and break glass. Trucks scraped metal sparks. The drunks, sandwiched between stiff sheets of cardboard, slept hard, their bodies shoots of loose cans and vomit. The windows in the building opposite fluttered light. Someone's feet toed a sill, and behind her, a kettle silvered. Nobody said, but the radio tuned all night could not block the smoky sighs when the shirtwaist factory girls joined hands and jumped. Overhead, the night birds sprawled an open sky, but the air above the street grew dense with plunging bodies. Yet, when I searched beyond the parapet, I found trees, pure water, a stroll of riverbank, and Solomon's carpet descending from above, as if in consideration of an indiscriminate, timely act of love. And I'll just read a couple more from some of the more rhyming ones. Going backwards in time. I was a young woman, I'm maybe in my late teens, I used to go up to Prince George to work in the summers. And I worked in a bookstore called I Be Guest. I don't know if anybody knows the Prince George bookstores. And I also had very long hair, which I dyed bright red, and became quickly known as Ginger. very upsetting to my mother. Okay. The poem is called Hotel. That was a year of hotel rooms, bad judgment, some salesman with a model contract in Prince George. And I was all about irony, a miniskirt, hair like a veil. But my home was the library. My home was the library. Not a cheap bedspread and some guy with a mustache saying, "My wife can't understand me." I'd only been curious. In the dark, the yellow bedside lamp was damp and furious. My miniskirt fell off, and the Vietnam vet in the next room cried, "Don't worry, we don't carve up chicks personally." God said, it was God's voice on the radio, in the guise of my school friend Tom, a DJ. God or Tom said on the radio, "Please call." So I leapt up, all reasonable and not confrontational, not at all stoned, and I phoned. "Dear Tom, wherever you are, I'm telling you now." I ran down the hall to a parking lot sign that read full. The policeman who pulled me over said I was going too slow. Oh. There was also the year of the knife, the year of the gun, the year God's voice whispered again and again, "What are you trying to do, kill yourself?" But this was a year of hotel rooms, when I looked into corners nobody swept and felt their pull, when I wore my hair like a pall and didn't know how lovely I was at all. And I'll read this little poem, it's the last one, and it's a poem that began all the rhymes. When I was a small girl and with my grandmother, I went to the museum. It was the Royal British Columbia Museum. It's not like it is now. It was, in those days, a museum was glass cases full of stuffed dead creatures. But they had a wonderful thing in that museum, and it was a glass beehive, and you could stand there and you could watch the bees come and go. So they'd go outside and they'd come back, and you could see everything happening in the hive. Museum. It makes no sense. I was so small. But I know I was alone when I found the bees. They crawled, golden, velvet as bees are, through a glass tube inserted in the wall. I knew their tread, intending footsteps on my arm and on my neck. They drew a line so sweet I curled inside all leaf. I was caramel-headed, patent-chewed. A velvet collar striped my camel coat. Costume gave me entree to the glass hive honeycomb. The wax, near fluid and alive. And at its heart, the queen, a giantess in dense gold matter. Were those her eggs? Was that larva? The furry bees queued inside the tube. Beyond the hive, the floor was paced with taxidermied paws, and clatter rose to break the diorama case that kept them from attack upon the human drones that brought them death. I felt as if I'd stumbled on some truth, and silent, shrieking birds and tawny-coated cougars under glass would one day join the exodus of bees. I held my breath, lest someone thoughtless thought to intervene and shut their egress. Thank you very much.